Okay. So today we're going to learn Perek Gimel, Perek Dalet. I'm not going to necessarily present the ideas in the order that they appear. I'm just trying to restructure them logically. Today is Yutes Kislev, so today is the day. There were upbringings last night and tonight all across the world. Obviously, the whole month has been a month dedicated to Hasidus, major Svarim sales. If you're looking to pick up cheap books of Hasidus, major Yurid's major book sales. So, just to remind ourselves of the core thesis of the Perek Yud Beis, global Perek Yud Gimel, is that a tzaddik is someone that has eliminated the nefesh behemoth or converted it, tzaddik gamor, tzaddik she'eno gamor, and a rasha is someone that allows the nefesh behemoth to overcome the nefesh elokis and to create a chet in which the nefesh behemoth is expressed in machshava dibur maisa. Most people are benoni. Most people, or at least the goal that we're trying to strive, is not to have any averos, not to have any expression of the nefesh behemoth. But the nefesh behemoth will still be there at the core of our identity. These two systems will still exist. Most people really can't convert that other system into a merkava, into a platform for the nefesh elokis. And he quoted the Gemara in Brachos that a benoni zeh bezeh shofta. You've got a nefesh behemoth and a nefesh elokis, and either one is a panelist. Either one issues its desire, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides Siyata Dishmaya as the third panelist, helping the Benoni avoid the Nefesh Behemoth expressing itself in Machshava, Dibur, or Maisa. In these prakim, Yud Gimel Yud Dalet, he's going to start to answer the Gemaras and the terminology that posed the problem in the first place. Remember the first parak a long time ago, we quoted a Gemara Nida, that when you're born, Hashem makes you take a Shvuah, be a Tzaddik, don't be a Rasha. What does that Shavuot mean? And even if the whole world sees you as a tzaddik, you should see yourself as a Rasha. What does that mean? You should look at yourself as a Rasha. That's depressing. That's enfeebling. So, the Baal HaTanya now, finally in Perek Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet says, no, of course you're not going to be a Rasha. You're not going to be a person who allows the Nefesh Behemoth to express Machshava Dibur HaMaisa activities, but you have to see yourself as Kirasha. That you're not a tzaddik, you haven't yet converted your nefesh behemoth. You still have that nefesh elokis and the nefesh behemoth, those two subsystems. So you have to realize that you, as someone who is an aspiring benoni, shares that aspect with a rasha. That you still haven't reached the level on the territory of tzaddikim internally, pnimius, in the internal core. You may not perform any averos like a rasha, if you're able to succeed to the level of a Benoni, but you still have the condition of active Nefesh Behemoth that hasn't yet been converted like a Rasha. So that's why the Gemara says you should view yourself as a Rasha. Al Tehi Rasha, don't let any manifestation of your Nefesh Behemoth, that's part of the Shvuah, but you should still see yourself. That's why the terms can mean different things. When you take a Shvuah, don't act like a Rasha, don't let any manifestation of your Nefesh Behemoth surface. But you should see yourself as a Rasha to realize it's always there. And that system, that Nefesh Behemoth, still exists and still flares and influences. So then, why, if you take a Shvuah not to be like a Tzaddik, not to be like a Rasha, why do you take a Shvuah to be like a Tzaddik? Tzaddik is a level that's almost impossible for most people to achieve. To be someone who converts their entire Nefesh Behemoth, their entire part of their substructure, into a force of Tov, into a force of Tzidkus. She says, as I said yesterday, because even though it's very rare for people to live their lives as a tzaddik, to have that conversion of the nefesh behemoth, there are times of expanded consciousness and religious inspiration, such as davening and Kriya Shema, where you can taste the life of a tzaddik, where you may have a temporary conversion. It may return, it may resurface later, but at least during Zman Kriya Shema and Zman Tefillah, and possibly learning, those are times in which you can taste what a tzaddik lives his entire life with. You can work very hard to achieve that, and that still leaves a Roshim, as we discussed yesterday. So when you take that Shavuah, as the Gemara Nida says, don't be a Rasha, don't let any Nefesh Behemoth manifest itself in an Avera, but realize you still have the Nefesh Behemoth active within your subsystem, and try to live like a Tzaddik, when you can, during those intermittent moments, to taste the life of a tzaddik whose nefesh behemis has been completely converted. So that's how he solves the Gemara Nida. Be a tzaddik as best you can for temporary moments. Don't behave like a rasha, but realize you have the nefesh behemis within yourself as a rasha. What about the Gemara in Brachos, where Rabbah says, I'm a Beinoni. Rabbah's a Beinoni? Rabbah learned Torah his whole day. Yeah, you can learn Torah your whole day, which means that you're a machshava, and your dibor, and maybe your maisa, is an expression of the nefesh elokis, which is now exerting control over your identity, over your system. But the nefesh behemis can still be active within your identity. You haven't converted it yet. So you could be someone that, who, at the level of expression, who is learning Torah, performing mitzvahs the entire day. But the definitions of tzaddik, rosh, and beinoni stem more from what's happening in the pnimius, what's happening in that whole battle over the ir katana, this battle over the city, who's going to control the city. So there could be moments in which the nefesh elokis controls the city, but the nefesh elokis hasn't converted the forces of nefesh behemis to its side. That's very, very rare, and therefore Rabbah can refer to himself as a beinoni in Drachos. So this is really the platform which launched the entire Tanya, this confused terminology. What does it mean, be a tzaddik, don't be a rasha, look at yourself like a rasha. Rabbah called himself a beinoni. If you sin, then you're a rasha, even one shape, the Gemara says, you sin. To establish an offset between what's happening in the world of expression, what's happening in the world of identity. And rasha and tzaddik terminology primarily stems from the world of identity, the pnimius, not the world of expression. Okay. He also gives one more strategy for the Beinoni. This is an important strategy, and it's really at the core of the Sefer HaTanya. Remember, we talked about the strategies yesterday, that the ma'ach is shalit b'lev, that the mind, the intellect, controls the passions. So whenever something wells up from the left chamber of the heart, which is the chamber or the dwelling of the nefesh behemis, the mind can quickly dismiss it. Because one thought of Kedusha can quickly scatter very powerful thoughts of nefesh behemis, like light shatters darkness. HaKadosh Baruch Hu stands to the right as that third panelist. HaKadosh Baruch Hu assists. There are great moments of his aruras, like tefillah. Itin demochin gadlin, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's emanations of Chabad are very, very powerfully felt, and you can lock into those emanations and create the force to allow your nefesh behemis or to suppress your nefesh behemis. And he says something else. He says that because, and I'm elaborating, he doesn't connect the two, but it's implicit in his statements, because every Jew is a nefesh eloka mimal, because every Jew has that nefesh elokis in him, so every avera will separate you from Hashem, because the nefesh behemis will create that division. And every moment of mitzvah of expression will reinforce and allow that nefesh elokis to augment. And so the drama of chet and the drama of mitzvah, whether you perform a chet or a mitzvah, is not just how close you feel to Hashem, how morally fit you feel, how spiritually attuned. It's literally whether the material in your essence, which is an emanation of Hashem, is essentially clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the concept of Dveikus. For many people, Dveikus is just how close I feel to Hashem, how in sync I am with Hashem's Ratzon. But in Chabad, in Sefer HaTanya, Dveikus is essentially I'm taking the part of me that's a direct emanation from Hashem, and I'm amplifying it, and therefore I'm closer to Hashem, and every chet separates the two. And therefore, whenever you feel your nefesh behemis creating a suggestion towards chet, if you realize the tragedy of lesser dveikus and the triumph of greater dveikus, then it would be easier for you, he claims, to shut down that taiva, to shut down that thought. And how do you realize the tragedy of lesser dveikus and the triumph of greater dveikus? Is a very interesting concept. If you look at certain people, they aren't really shomer Torah mitzvahs. They don't keep mitzvahs that well. Their religious lives are not that successful. But when it comes to dying al Kiddush Hashem, if someone challenged them to convert to another religion or to become an agnostic or an atheist, they'll put their foot down and say, I believe in Hashem, even to the point of death. We've seen this throughout history. That even people who aren't really religiously motivated, something clicks within them when they're challenged to renounce their relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So evidently, this is something he says, there's a deep ahava musteris. There's a deep inner, even though there's a balancing, everything in Sefer HaTanya is balanced, zele umaseh, everything is equivalent, the nefesh behemis and nefesh elokis. Because that nefesh elokis comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's an ahava musteris. There's a deep love, and this is really a thesis of Chassidus, that expresses itself whenever you feel that that relationship is going to be terminated, when you feel that the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be terminated because someone's going to ask you to convert to another religion, you put your foot down, even if you don't perform mitzvahs. The sad part, he says, is that people don't realize, people like that necessarily, that even eating chazer has the same effect. You're still creating a distance between yourself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So people get very worried about theological averas, but a regular avera, okay, I'm still, my relationship with Hashem is intact. And you'd be right if it were just about a relationship. Let's have a relationship with you. So if I curse you out and say, I never want to speak to you again, that's fissuring your relationship, breaking it. If I just cheat on you a little bit, or I don't invite you to the share, so we still have a relationship. But it's not about a relationship, but about literally a physical interaction. So it doesn't make a difference whether I tell you, I never want to see you again, or I just act in a way that creates that divide. Essentially, I'm creating the same effect of division. So he says it's silly that people who are willing to dial Kiddush Hashem are not careful about averus. That he calls Ruach Shtus. The Gemara says a person doesn't sin unless a Ruach Shtus enters his psyche. But from the aspirant Benoni's perspective, you can realize how deeply embedded this hidden love for Hashem is when you see people unwilling to forego it. And then you can extrapolate it. Well, if I've got this hidden love, and the tragedy of Dveikos is so acute that people who don't perform mitzvahs would still put their foot down and draw a line in the sand. And for myself, who's more aware, more sensitive, that when an avera wells up, I should be able to dismiss it by recognizing how powerful Dveikos is meant to be and how unwilling people are, even when pushed to the brink, even people that live on the periphery of religious experience, how they're unwilling to forego and to forfeit that Dveikos. So in the 13th and 14th parak, again, he repeats the offset between the pnimius and the manifestations, that a Benoni has no avera or else he's a Rasha. But internally, those two systems are active. The Nefesh Behemoth and Nefesh HaLokus are still conflicting with one another. There's a conflict and a battle. When one rises, the other falls. When one falls, the other rises. Parshas told us it's not just about Yaakov and Esav, but about these two subsystems within the human psyche. He solves all the sukkim that he introduced in the first parak about Rabba being called a Benoni, and about taking a Shvuah to be a Rasha, to be a Tzaddik, not to be a Rasha. No one can be a Tzaddik. We want to try to avoid being a Rasha, but we can have moments of Tzidkus. And finally, he gives another strategy to remind yourself of the appeal and the allure of Dveikus, and how tragic the impact of Chet will be upon that Dveikus, which ironically you can sense in people who aren't that successful at mitzvahs, but when it comes to, in their minds, the final clipping of that Dveikus, they'll draw the line. I want to make one final 5-second comment. This is a sefer of philosophy in Kabbalah, but it's also a sefer of Musa. And like every Musa sefer, it's not really the content that's so powerful, but it's also the language and the words and the phraseology. And we really haven't had a chance to read it because I wanted to give you a quick exposure to the sefer, but a lot of these ideas, when you read the words and these phrases keep reappearing, they have a certain psychological impact. That's what Musa was meant to be. It's not anything new, but if you read it and the phrase, like poetry to a degree. So Perek Yudalev begins, Vihine midas habenoni, hi midas kol ha'adam. Midas habenoni, hi midas kol ha'adam. Our goal, which is very hard, but the goal, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises us, is attainable. Ki kar v'lach ha'davar mi'od. So Mirat Hashem, we'll wrap this up on Thursday. Tomorrow is Ishbitz. And Mirat Hashem on Sunday. Sunday night is Hanukkah. We'll switch next week to Hanukkah conversations. We'll try to get to the 17th, 18th parak. It's really more or less a comprehensive background. And the other parak can become a little bit more specialized. Okay?